This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good Sunday morning to all of my dear friends. As you've dialed in, tuned in today, may the Lord bless you. And I hope that you're having a wonderful start to this Lord's Day. We celebrate and we praise God in these strange times, adjusting ourselves to a whole new way of living. And I pray that God is working in your life, that you're deepening your walk with God, that you're experiencing the things that we're talking about, the good from the bad. There are so many wonderful, good things that come out of these bad days. And I hope that you're reflecting on that. In fact, it'd be good for you, and I'll say more about it in the days ahead. You ought to be writing some of these things down. You don't want to ever forget these days, waste these days that God has brought into our life so that we might learn to honor and glorify God. Well, we continue to wait on the announcements from the president, from our governor, regarding how we can gather again at church. So we'll just continue to do as we're doing and wait on the guidelines that will be given to us. We certainly want to protect everyone's health as best we can, and then to prepare ourselves for joining together in a new experience of worship. And it will be different. It will be a new way of coming together in these days as we pray for people who are affected by the virus, maybe some of your own friends and family. And we'll do what we can to come together in ways that will be safe. But oh, what a wonderful time it will be. So continue to check the website. It's our best way of sending information to you. And we'll send it out through all the various ways. The pastors will also communicate as they can. We'll share with you the latest and the best of what we know to do in preparing for the future. But for now, we do what we do together. We gather around God's Word, and what a blessing that we have these abilities, these technologies, to do such a thing. So let's begin by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, a victory day, another Lord's Day to celebrate. You are risen from the dead. We remember the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Our Savior's risen. Our Lord, our great high priest is there in heaven. Lord, you hear us. We come to the throne of grace even today. I pray that you'd bless all of my dear friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they might be today, that the Holy Spirit of God would be close to them and that they might draw real encouragement from the Word of God today as we gather to hear your Word. The most important thing we need to hear today is your Word and what you have to say to us. Help us, Lord, to continue with confidence to know that you are bringing good out of the bad for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we continue on this theme, as I've spoken to you about before, of the good from the bad. So let's review again, and I'll put these up for you. It's easier for you to see these on the screen and follow along. This is the outline we've been following in these days together. We learned, first of all, from Romans 8:28, that we can know as believers that God brings good from the bad. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose, there's good from the bad. That's the first thing we learned. Second thing we learned, and we talked about together, is that believers can live and have a mind set on the Spirit, which leads to life and peace. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. We also learned that believers must, in these days of trouble, learn, this is the good from the bad, to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to work. Wait for the Lord to do his work in the world, in the church, and in your life and mine. We learned that in Psalm 116:7. We learned also that believers must learn, this is the good from the bad, to rest in the Lord, not be agitated, not be troubled, rest. rest in the Lord. Psalm 116:7. We also learn that believers can gain new strength as we wait on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They'll gain new strength. We talked at length about that. We also talked about that believers, all of us, we need endurance. You need endurance, and I need endurance. The only way I learn to endure is to go through suffering and trials. That's what stretches us. That's what strengthens us. Endurance. You need endurance, and I need endurance today. We also talked about the importance on Easter Sunday, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Remember these days more than anything else. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The Lord Jesus is alive. The Lord Jesus is ruler of all authorities, all powers. The Lord Jesus is ruler over all the nations of the world. Though the world does not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and confess Him as Lord, one day every knee will bow. The Lord Jesus, who is alive today, will come again. He will come again. And there'll be a glorious time where God will begin to do His work again and restore a remnant from Israel. And all of the people of God will gather, Gentile and Jew, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. The Lord Jesus will again come. We pray today, come Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We can put up with and tolerate times of pestilence and disease and virus because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And then Wednesday night, I spoke to you about the importance. Oh, this is such an important lesson for us. It's the good from the bad. This is a hard lesson for American Christians. We must learn the secret, the lesson of contentment. Believers can live in contentment. You can be content with what you have, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, whether you are having a great abundance or whether you have very little to deal with. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. So today I'd like for you to take your copy of God's Word, and we'll continue now to think about the good from the bad and the wonderful truth that believers live in confident hope in all our trials. In fact, that's our focal truth for today. Our focal truth for today, let me say it again. Believers live in confident, or I might use the word boastful, hopefulness in all our trials. Boastful hopefulness in all our trials. And we'll go today to Romans chapter 5. I hope you'll take God's Word, your copy of God's Word, sit there with your family. I know many of you have sent me pictures and other things of your family gathering. What an honor it is for me to speak with you and your family, your loved ones, however they've chosen to connect to us. And may the Lord bless you. Romans chapter 5. Oh, so many wonderful things Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5. But we focus today on Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. So we pick up, Paul saying, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. The word can be endurance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word now as it carries across this technology. May the reading of your word bring deep assurance to your people today and all who hear my voice. These are the very words of God. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. Thank you for the hopefulness we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today we think about this whole issue of hopefulness versus hopelessness. And I'll describe it in this way. Today we see Paul describing Christian hopefulness. That's the only true hopefulness there is. There are a lot of different commercials and other things. We're going to get through this, and there are all these things that people try to say, and those are encouraging things, but there is no hopefulness. Fleshly, worldly hopefulness does not compare to Christian hopefulness, and that's what Paul's talking about here. So I want to talk to you for a moment about hopefulness. What does it mean? And some characteristics. And then we'll make some observations from Romans chapter 5 briefly this morning. And I hope there'll be an encouragement to you. Think about this with me today. Hopefulness. Christian hopefulness. Hopefulness is the good from the bad. Rather than living in hopelessness, we, God's people, because of the Holy Spirit of God and because of these trials and what's going on in God working in our life, we are the hopeful ones. I hope you, as a Christian, with your family, with all of your friends, I hope you are expressing and living with hopefulness. That's the way God intended for Christians to live. In fact, I would say it to you like this. The believer is the most hopeful person in the world. The Christian is the most hopeful person in the world, regardless of whether we have much or whether we have little, because hopefulness is at the center of our faith in Jesus Christ. Hope purifies us. Hope makes us more like Jesus. Hope saves us. Hope is exalting and boastful. Hope is something that brings great joyful emotion out of us. We exalt, we brag, we boast. The hopeful person, the Christian who is hopeful, brags and boasts in the Lord. We exalt, we rejoice in all of our troubles and our times of difficulty. Hope itself, the word means to have an expectation and anticipation. Hope is expecting and anticipating. Christian hope has no disappointment in it. All the disappointment's been taken out. It's assured. It's assured confidence and expectation. That's what hope is for the Christian. Hope is having something to look forward to. And we have much to look forward to as followers of Jesus Christ. But oh, my dear friends, the hopelessness all around us. This week, even on the news broadcasts, the sad word came that there's been a great spike in calls to the suicide hotline. And if you or one of your loved ones is considering suicide in these despairing times and there's great hopelessness in that person or in you, make that call. You need to talk to someone. You need to talk to someone who can help you deal and grapple with your despair and your discouragement. Look, hopelessness is real. Worldly despair, worldly hopelessness is all around us. And in these days, because people don't know the future, they never did before, but now all of a sudden they're confronted with, oh my, what will happen? I don't know. There comes to be these rolling feelings of despair, like waves of the ocean that roll in. And oh, the more they think about it, the more they have despair. And it leads to hopelessness. There's no hope. Paul said it this way. I remind you of this. Ephesians 2:12. Paul said, talking about people who do not know the Lord Jesus, they're all around us today. The world is, people are dying of this virus. And they do not know the Lord Jesus, and they're going to hell because they do not know the Lord Jesus. Hopelessness is everywhere, Paul said. Remember, this is to you who are Christians. Remember, you were at that time, before you were saved, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hopelessness. Hopelessness is a feeling of absolute loneliness. There's nobody for me. There's no God to call on. There's no friend to turn to. There's no way out of this. Hopelessness is a feeling of utter loneliness. Hopelessness is a feeling of complete exclusion. Now, we're living in these times of physical separation, and because of these days of living like this, emotionally, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves feeling so isolated and forgetting that God is there with us and our friends and family are there, and we must reach out and love those that God has put with us. Look, God, it was no accident. You're with the people you're with during these days. God has something to teach you with those that you're with in your family today or friends. So we see this feeling of hopelessness is this feeling of utter exclusion or isolation. Hopelessness is a feeling of despair. There's nothing I can do without hope. Without is the word. I am without. And then you fill it in. That's what the hopeless say. That's what the worldly hopeless say. I am without. I am without job. I am without money. I am without family. I am without a future. I am without. Rather than knowing what we have in Christ, those that live in hopelessness live saying, I am without. Hopelessness is a feeling of utter loss. Do you know someone today like that? You know, before we left being together, we had gathered over 300 names that all of us had put together of who's our one. You remember that? Someone that we knew in our family or friend who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's your one? Who's your one today? Are you praying for them? For right now is a great time for them to come to the Lord. Right now is an opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Who's your one? Are you praying for them? Are you texting them? Are you writing them? Are they right there in your own home with you? Well, this is your opportunity to reach out to them. Oh, the hopelessness. Oh, the vast, massive, immense hopelessness in our world today because of this pestilence and this disease and virus. So today we think about what Paul says here. He says to us, not only this, Romans 5:3, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. So let's think about it, and I want to give you a couple of observations regarding the nature of Christian hopefulness. The nature, the character, the characteristics, perhaps might be a better way to say it, the characteristics of Christian hopefulness, and I hope these will be an encouragement to you today as you live as a hopeful one in the midst of a hopeless world. Number one, we learn, and I'm just going to take us through Romans 5:3-5 for a moment and make just a few observations. Number one, we learn, first characteristic of hopefulness, Christian hopefulness, is this. Hope boasts with certainty in our eternal glory. Let me say it again. Hope, number one, hope boasts, brags. Hope is confident. Hope confidently with certainty looks forward to eternal glory. That's what we have to look forward to. Not just going back to work, my beloved friends. Not just being able to get up and drive around in your car and have freedom to go where you want to go. Is that all you're looking forward to? You see, The Christian's hopefulness is about eternity and heaven. So Paul says to us, in fact, it's in Romans 5:2. Look there. He said, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We've been saved. Verse 1, he says, we're justified by faith. Praise God. When you got saved, you were saved. You were justified from your sin by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. And then he says, now we exult in hope of the glory of God. I want you to think about this. Exult. The word exult means to brag, to boast in the Lord. The psalmist always was talking about boasting in the Lord. Are you boasting? You see, the hopeful one is boasting in the Lord. And we're boasting because this, we already know our destination. We already know that heaven is our home. We already have certainty that even if we died, God forbid, of this virus or died of a heart attack today, we all have a death day. Something will take our life somewhere at some time. But we have certainty. We're ready to live for Christ and we're ready to die for Christ. That's the hopeful Christian. And you see, we exult, we boast in hope in the glory of God. You see, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's gone ahead of us. He's ascended to heaven. He's made the way for us to heaven. He's interceding in heaven for us. He is making a place for us. Oh, I have certainty. There's another place that I will be going when I am finished here. Hope is certain. We're hid in Christ in heavenly places. Hope is certain in the glorious place of heaven because I've been blessed. You as Christians have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything we have is stored and reserved for us in heaven. There's a place for you and for me as we prepare in this world. This is not the place we finish. That's why there's no need for hopelessness. We don't put our hope in this place. We don't put our hope in the things in this world. Our hope, as Paul says here, Romans 5:2. Here it is again. We exult in hope of the glory of God. The second characteristic that I would mention to you is this, that hope boasts with certainty in our trials. So what do we do with the pestilence and the virus that seems like it will never flatten, seems like it will never go to a place where we can be released? What do? We rejoice. Hopeful people, Christians who are hopeful, we rejoice. We boast in our trials. What did Paul say here? Romans 5:3. And not only this, he's referring to verse 2, that we exult in hope of the glory of God, but he also says, but we also exult in tribulations. I continue to hammer on this nail with you. Are you one filled with joy today? Or are you one filled with sadness? Are you filled with hopefulness today, or are you filled with despair and discouragement? You see, hope boasts with certainty in our trials. We exult in our tribulations. You know why? He says it right here. Three things. There are three things being developed in your life and mine when we're in trouble. See, this is the good news. These hard times are about making you a better follower of Jesus. These hard times, these times of isolation, put you squarely with the Lord. It's you and the Lord. How do you act and behave when it's just you and the Lord? Have you learned how to rest and wait on the Lord? Have you come to Him and enjoyed your times of worship and praise? Are you hopeful? Well, you see, here's the encouraging thing. This is what God's doing in your life. Romans 5:3, we exult in tribulation knowing, there's that word again. You see, Christians know something's going on during this trouble. The world doesn't seem to know anything. Ask one medical person, he doesn't know for sure. Ask another, he doesn't know for sure. Certainly, if you ask government people, they don't know for sure. No one seems to know, but we can know. We can know. I hope you're listening to Pastor Mike. We know. Not only do we know, Romans 8:28, that God brings good out of the bad. Here's another one. Look, knowing, it's present tense, by the way. Romans 5, verse number 3. Knowing that trouble, tribulation, brings about perseverance. We've talked about that. You need endurance, and so do I. But it also brings about proven character, you see. When you go through something like this, it shows what you're really made of. When you go through times like this, it shows you if you're Christ-like or worldly-like. It demonstrates what's really inside of you, the genuine you. And so troubles produce endurance and produce proven character. And proven character, what emerges from Christ-like proven character, are you listening? Is hopefulness. That's what happens. We recognize these things together. The third quality is this: hopefulness boasts with certainty without any disappointment. Now, there's a lot of disappointment going on in the world today. People's expectations are set in the wrong place. Expectations in the government, and I'm grateful for all that the government and the medical people can do. But your expectations will be disappointed if they're set on man or the things of man. The only way to remove disappointment and despair is to put your faith in God, which emerges with hope, because you can go back. Look, some of you are old like me, and some of you are young, and you can remember. Think back to how God has helped you in the past. That'll bring you hope. That'll encourage you today. Here we see it. Hope boasts with certainty without any disappointment. That's what he says here in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. I'm going to say it again. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh my. God's eternal love for us never disappoints. You'll never be disappointed by the eternal love of God for you who are believers in Christ. God's eternal love for us strengthens us. That's what you need today. That's what I need. Oh, may we, the Holy Spirit is pouring out the love of God over and over, reminding you in these times of pestilence and trouble and national emergency. The Lord loves you. The Lord is with you. The Lord cares for you. The Lord will protect you. That's what he's saying. God's eternal love never ends. You see, sometimes love ends between people, sadly. And there's disappointment, but the love of God never ends. What did John say? 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us who are children of God. Well, these things are important for us as we consider hopefulness and Christian hopefulness from Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Now, let me give you something for daily use as we finish today. Paul's wonderful words that we looked at many days ago. If you ever want to look at these sermons, you can always go back to them, and I encourage you to. When we were talking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we looked at Colossians chapter 1 for quite some time. But there is a phrase in Colossians 1:27, as I come to daily use, that I want to use to frame up some things for you to think about today and to apply in your life. Paul says, Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you need to say to yourself and to your friends and to your family. Christ in you. If Jesus Christ is in you, if you're saved, the hope of glory is yours, and you must be hopeful in these times of hopelessness. So, daily use, when Christ is in us, we have the hope of glory regardless of our trials. Number two, when Christ is in us, we have the hope of salvation, regardless of the hopelessness of the world. Number three, when Christ is in us, we have the hope in his eternal love for us, regardless of the disappointments of the world. That's what you and I have today. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the hopefulness that you give us in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, raise the joy and hopefulness of your people today, Lord, wherever they sit, whatever they may be going through. We exult in our tribulations because you give us hope, and we exult in hope in the glory of God. Christ is in us. We have the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless my friends and brothers today on this wonderful Lord's Day. May it be a good day, a hopeful day, as we look forward to coming to be with you one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's a spiritual need in your life, if you have a burden, if you have a prayer request, if there's something you need me to do for you, or you need one of our pastors to do, if you would just please email us at the church. You can call and leave a message on the phone. If you have a spiritual decision you need to make today, if you need to be saved, if you've been living in utter hopelessness, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in these days of despair and hopelessness and fear. Turn to the Lord and be saved. All the earth is what the prophet said. And so we turn to the Lord Jesus to be saved. Repent of your sins, oh church. How I'm praying in these days for awakening in the world because of this virus, and millions to be saved, and the church, including First Baptist Church, to live in revival, that we might be God's people and do the work he's truly called us to do before Jesus comes again, and he is coming again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. I'll see you Wednesday together again. God bless you.